The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Time to talk food with Gareth Mullins, executive chef at Anantara The Marker in Dublin and at Forbes Street Restaurant Within. Of course, he's also co-host with Gary O'Hanlon of the podcast Dishing It Out. Gareth, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. How are you?
Now, you're a posh chef.
Well.
And you're going to do bangers and mash for me.
Do you know, it's probably, I'm always asked, what's your favourite dish? What's your go-to dish? What do you like cooking?
Yeah.
And bangers and mash is up there. And I think I got that from my dad. He's a big fan of bangers and mash as well. The problem is sometimes the onion gravy, and you have to have onion gravy, sometimes trips people up. So because it can taste a bit watery or a little bit lackluster. And when I lived out in Australia, as you know, for about 5 or 6 years, I missed Irish sausages because they're the best in the world. So because our pork is so good and our butchers are so good. Anyway.
So let's talk about the three ingredients, the bangers, the sausages, in other words, the mash, and then the gravy.
So, you know, good quality pork sausages is essential for this, right? And whatever how many you like, I'm saying 8, so they're the kind of bigger ones. Then for the mashed potato, you need 600 grams of potatoes. Roosters really is a very good go-to potato for mash. They're kind of all year-round potatoes. 100 grams of good Irish butter and 150 mils of cream. And I won't hear anything else about it. It has to be cream, no milk, right? Salt and pepper. To make the mashed potato, peel them equal size pieces, cold water, bring them up to a simmer. Simmer them till they're just cooked. A knife should freely push through them, then they're ready. Strain them off, back into the pan. This bit is important. Onto the stove and cook them for a little bit longer. What you're trying to do is get rid of any moisture, because moisture is just going to make them taste and feel watery. Then give them a good mash. If you have a ricer, put them through a ricer. If not, just give them a really good mash. Then in with the butter, in with the cream, salt and pepper. Use a wooden spoon, beat them together. The mashed potato is ready.
I did that on its own.
Yeah, no, come here. That's what dreams are made of. And then you move into the onion gravy. So 3 red onions, as finely sliced as you can. 4 shallots, again, as finely sliced as you can. A bottle of beer. Any lager is good here. 250 mils of chicken stock. 2 tablespoons of picked thyme. 2 tablespoons of whole grain mustard, and this is a little cheat, 50 grams of onion jam. So all the supermarkets sell them. I like the signature taste one from Super Value. It really lifts the flavour and it brings a little bit of sweetness. You've made your mashed potato, now you're getting on to cooking your sausage. So in a heavy base pan, sear them off. This might sound a little strange for people, but what I'm trying to do is get the pork fat that's in the sausages to stay in the pan and catch to the end of the pan, because it's all about building the flavour of the gravy. Then, after you've seared them off for 2 minutes, onto a roasting tray, and then I just pop them into a preheated oven at 180 degrees until they're cooked through. It'll take about 6 to 8 minutes. Now it's to make the gravy. So in the same pan, a little splash of olive oil and a knob of butter, and then in with those onions on a medium heat. You're going to cook the onions for about 15 to 20 minutes. What you're trying to do here is caramelise the onions. You don't want loads of colour, but you just want them to cook them out for about 15 minutes. After that happens, they're really soft. In with the beer, turn the heat up full volume, in with the thyme, and you're going to reduce that down by half. So if it's an inch up the side of your pan, you want to come down to a half an inch, exactly. And then you go in with the chicken stock, in with the mustard, in with the onion jam, bring it all back up to the boil, and you'll see it'll start to thicken up. Then just take your sausages out of the oven, any juices that are on the tray, into the onion gravy, sausages into the gravy, then into the centre of the table with the mash, and it won't last long. Absolutely cracking dish.
And then you're desperate, Dan.
Exactly.
Now, the second dish you have is one pan hake with the tomato, red pepper, olives and potato.
Yeah, again, this is like, we're always asked the chefs, how do we cook? And this is the type of food now. If I was having friends over for dinner, this is the type of thing that you might get if I was cooking for you. So, 4 fillets of hake, go into your fishmonger, ask them to take the scale off, ask them to pin bone and cut it into 160, 180 gram pieces, and then leave the skin on. And then what you're going to do for the sauce, punnet of cherry tomatoes, couple of shallots, 200 grams of sliced new potatoes that are cooked, 150 grams of the peeled jarred red peppers. I spoke about them last week as well, I think. 100 grams of pitted olives. If you're not crazy on olives, don't add them in. But substitute that maybe with some capers, because you want that little bit of salty as you're eating the sauce. Good splash of olive oil. Some chopped fresh basil, juice of a lemon and salt and pepper. Now, a lot of people are nervous about cooking fish. There's nothing to be nervous about. A good non-stick pan really helps here. You're going to take the fish out of the fridge, season it up, pat it dry, make sure the skin is nice and dry, and then you want your pan from medium to hot. Put it on the stove, little bit of oil into the pan, and then gently put the fish in, skin side down. Now, don't touch the fish. Leave it alone until you start to see at the side of the fish, it'll start going from raw to translucent to cook. At that point, give the pan a little shake. If it's not shaking, just take a spatula and ease the skin off the pan.
So you don't want the skin sticking to the pan?
No, but I think what people do straight away, they start trying to turn it too quick, and there's a little bit of moisture there. It hasn't evaporated and it sticks to the pan, and then they say, I can't cook fish. So you have to leave it alone and let it caramelise a little bit. Then take it out, put it on a plate after you've got the skin nice and crispy. So the skin is looking at you sitting on the plate, on to make the sauce. In with the shallots, sauté them off with a little bit of olive oil. In with the cherry tomatoes. You'll see it starting to blister down. It'll start looking like a tomato sauce. In with the potatoes, the red pepper, the olives. Maybe a little more splash of olive oil. The fresh basil, good squeeze of lime juice, season it with salt and pepper, nestle those cod or hake fillets back in with the skin looking at you, and then pop it into a preheated oven at 180 degrees, 8 to 10 minutes. Proper Mediterranean cooking, loads of flavour, really crisp glass of white wine. You might as well be sitting in a restaurant or indeed on the coast of Spain.
Now, a tip about filleting the fish.
Yeah, so filleting the fish really... it's something that the fish comes two ways, hake, which is like a round fish, or you've got the flat fish, which is your turbot, your sole, your all the different flat fish plates or whatever. If it's a round fish like hake, snip off the little swimmers on the sides, then the fin up along the top, and then you run your blade, cut the head off at a little bit of an angle, run your blade along the spine, and just follow it all the way down to the tail. As it lifts up, do it again, and then you'll have a fillet then that's on your chopping board. Take a little tweezers, remove the pin bones, and cut them into pieces. But really, I would say, ask your fishmonger to do it.
Okay.
Yeah, to do it. You know, it is a little bit tricky.
Quick question from one of our listeners. What oil does Gareth generally use?
When I'm pan frying things, I use a high burn in oil, so like a vegetable oil or a rapeseed oil or a sunflower oil. Don't use loads of it. Investing in a good non-stick pan. Just one other little trick: if you don't have a non-stick pan, cook your fish on a piece of parchment paper on your pan. It won't burn and it'll stop it from sticking.
Very good. Gareth Mullins, executive chef at Anantara The Marker, thank you very much. Next,
the Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.